Hyde can be dismissed, correct? Is that right? All right.
I was hoping that...
Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for our brother. Lord, as he speaks, may it be as it were the oracles of God. May we have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And in Christ's name,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's make sure this works here.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, it does work. Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim is helping me. It's exciting to be with you to worship. Many times people say to me, why are you Christians so happy?
I didn't do what? Dismiss the kids. Okay. I don't know what I'm doing here. So if you need it, so kids can be dismissed, right? So we're taking care of that. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and our ushers will get a Bible in your hand. Is there anything else I need to do?
I'm glad you have Bibles for people. My name is Fuad. You can't say Fuad, call me Joe. I answer that one. My wife is an American, been married 25 years, praise the Lord, and I was born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon, and work with a ministry called Crescent Project. First 3 years of our married life, my wife called me honey. So I said to her, why you call me honey? She said, I can't say your name. So don't call me honey. That's from my wife Lisa. Call me Fuad. Fuad sounds like quad with an F. Fuad means loving heart. Most Arabic names have a meaning. So my name means loving heart or spiritual heart. I served with Crescent Project. We started the ministry in 1993. And thanks Pastor Tim for making the trek all the way to Indianapolis to come do our training. But we put on seminars. We put on outreach ministries. We do 1 week training, 2 days training, 1 day training. This afternoon from 2 to 5:30, we're doing a training in Westgate down in San Jose on how to build bridges with Muslims and share the gospel with Muslims. Why we believe that we need to share the gospel with Muslims. I don't know if you've been watching the news. You know, after September 11, Americans started thinking, oh, there are other people out there. You know, one guy said to me, who are the Muslims? You know, who are these people? You know, if a friend sent me a Facebook email, he goes, the terrorists of September 11 are not Muslim. So I responded, I said, sir, if they're not Muslim, what are they? Presbyterian? Are they what, Roman Catholic? Who are these people who not only want to die, but they want to bring others with them? On Palm Sunday, there was a bombing in Cairo, Egypt, in a church. People died in Palm Sunday. A guy put on my Facebook, the Muslim people are upset with the colonial powers. So I said to him, people are dying in a church because the Arabs are upset with the French. What, we don't like their baguettes? What, we have major issues today. Islam has always taught jihad. And now we live in the information age. Suddenly we're watching on our Facebook, you know, texting. Hey, there's news. There's another car bomb. Yesterday, Erdogan, the president of Turkey, fired 4,000 people. Fired them from their jobs because he said that they're against his regime. We are living in major issues. But regardless, we believe that Muslims need a heart change. That's why we use the word crescent. Crescent is the beginning of a new month. We believe that Muslims need a new beginning with Jesus. And our goal is to lock arms with believers, to cross the street and love on the Muslims who moved here, show them the love of Jesus, and also cross the ocean. So I'm glad you're sending a team to the Philippines. Guess what? There are Muslims in the Philippines. Now, many times we will say, why do we Christians want to share the gospel with Muslims? Because the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The verse starts, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Today, this is not about we're trying to get more Republicans. We're not trying to get more Democrats. We're not trying to get more people in our club. The reason we want to share the gospel with Muslims, the reason we want to share the gospel with everybody, whether they're in America or in Europe or in the Middle East or Africa, the reason we want to share the gospel with them is because Jesus, the Son of the Virgin Mary, 2,000 years ago said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So people say to me, why do you want to share the gospel with Muslims? Because Jesus told me to share the gospel with Muslims. So we need to understand that our role today is to be like our Savior. Our role is to shine the light. Our role is to do what he told us. It is sad that today millions have never heard the words of Jesus. Now, as a ministry, we ask people to pray with us. We ask people to pray with us every Friday at noon. I said that at a training in New York City, and the gentleman in the front said to me, "Is that Eastern Standard Time?" I said, "No, sir. When it's 12 noon, would you pray with us?" And I'm from Lebanon, so we always come bearing gifts. I have this bookmark as a gift for you as you leave. You can grab this bookmark. It has Arabic calligraphy, John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus says, "I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." As followers of Jesus, as committed believers, when we see people, we love them. Because Jesus loves them, has come to give them life, life abundant. So please take this bookmark and pray with us every Friday at noon. You know, Americans, we're pragmatic people. We want to do something, you know. We build the Golden Gate Bridge, you know. We've got to do something. So people say to me, "All the time pray." I was in Tennessee. The sweet lady comes up. She goes, "Mr. Massey, the most I can do for you is pray." I said, "Yes, ma'am. This is the most you could do for us. Pray." Can we get a million people to pray for Muslims today? Wow. Can we get a million? There's 100 million Americans that say they are born-again Christians. Can we get one out of every 100 to pray? A friend of mine, after September 11, started a website called Adopt a Terrorist for Prayer. What a great idea. You go adopt terrorist prayer, and there's a list of all the terrorists. And you just pray for them. In Acts, there was a terrorist by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And the church said, "Lord, he's persecuting us." And Jesus appears to him on the road to Damascus. And Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the disciples?" No. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church?" No. Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" God asks us to pray. My challenge for us this morning, would you pray with us? You might say, "Fuad, we are committed to pray with you every Friday at noon." Maybe somebody wants to pray every day. Maybe there's a Muslim in your school. Maybe there's a Muslim in your neighborhood. That we can pray for them, that God will move. A couple of things. This is the city I grew up in. Lebanon is a small country. So in the inset, you can see it there. It's a small country. It's the size of Connecticut. So an hour and a half, I'm outside Lebanon. I mean, I was driving in Texas. I drove 24 hours, and I was still in the state of Texas. Last spring break, I took my family on the Pacific Coast Highway. God bless America. I love it. Just, we drove down all the way from Monterey, California, all the way down to San Diego and prayed for California. Lord, send the revival. I was driving in Kansas. No exits in Kansas. Do you know that? Man, you know, don't miss the first exit. And I prayed, "Lord, send the revival in Kansas. Send the revival in Missouri. Send the revival in the United States." So I was born and raised in Beirut, Lebanon. My dad is Lebanese, but my mom is Syrian, so you can say I've been a hostage all my life. My mom doesn't like this joke. But the war in Syria is very close. The chemical attack that happened, the one before it, was in the neighborhood next to my cousins. And they ran away to Kuwait City, to the Gulf. Some of them are now in Beirut. My other cousin lost her house to ISIS. And you know, we sometimes act like, "Oh, this is going to go away. I love America, you know. You know, I love America." So, it's okay. Get your Starbucks. Relax. You get 90 seconds on the news on what's happening in Iraq and 5 minutes commercials. Get our shampoo. It works. It didn't. 90 seconds. Can an American tell me who are the Sunnis and who are the Shiites? Can an American tell me why an Alawite president will bomb his citizens? Why the war in Syria is going on now 5 years, more than 600,000 people dead? Oh, no, it's okay. Don't talk about it, Fahad. We want to be nice. I want to be nice, but people are dying in Syria, in Iraq, in Egypt, in Libya, in Sudan, Saudi Arabia. So I grew up in the heart of the Lebanese war, and in the middle of the war, I hated Jewish people. I could not stand the Israelis, and the other people I hated were the Palestinians. The Palestinian Arafat and his army were passed behind my house, and they killed my best friend Waleed. On age 18, he was walking, smoking a cigarette on a Saturday morning, and a bombing by the PLO killed him. And I had so much hate in my heart. I decided not to believe in God. I said, I don't want to believe God. If God does exist, he's a bad God. And my solution for the Middle East crisis was to take Israelis and Arabs to fight in the desert like Arizona. Let him fight there, and whoever wins, give him the piece of land. Let's finish with it. But during the Lebanese war, a friend of mine asked me, Fahad, if you die tomorrow, where do you go? I said to him, well, I don't care. I don't believe in God. He said, but it's too late then. Because if God does exist, whoops. So I decided to become an agnostic. That's a good word. Is there a God? I don't know. Is there a heaven? I don't know. I was like a little boat being tossed by the waves. And I decided if God exists, then he should be communicating. So I started studying different religions, and I discovered that Jesus, our Savior, is different than anyone else. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others what you want them to do unto you. Hey, that's a good one for Congress. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good. That's awesome for the Middle East. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd because I lay my life for the sheep. Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves because a slave does not know what the master is doing. I call you friends. The Bible is the only book that says you and I can be the friends of Jesus. But this information was in the mind. How did it come to the heart? The Bible says we have to worship God with all our mind. That's your logic. That's your intellect. That's your creativity. Every time you invent, every time you do something, every time you use your mind, glorifies God. Every time I use my iPhone, hey, this glorifies God. Somebody used their brain and put this together. But then the Bible says we need to worship God with all our heart. What does that mean? Heart is where your will is. You don't tell your wife, honey, I love you from all my mind. She'd say, oh, that's cute. No, I love you from all my heart. You're my one and only. So for me, how did the information move from the mind to the heart? During the Lebanese war, we had friends. They had four children. And they were eating dinner. The youngest was a two-year-old son. While they're eating dinner, the son spilled milk. So the father picked up the son, went into the bathroom to wash his hands. While he's in the bathroom, a mortar shell, usually this big, looks like the Goodyear blimp, a mortar shell came through the balcony door, exploded in the middle of the table. Wife and three kids, pieces on the wall. The man survived with his son, picked up a plastic bag, picked up the pieces and buried his family with one bag. And that was the trigger for me to move the information from the mind to the heart. The problem in Lebanon was not weapons. Weapons don't keep people. People kill people. We've killed each other over skin color, over territory, over religion, over money. We killed each other with sticks and stones and spears and tanks and weapons of mass destruction. I mean, gosh, America just dropped the Moab. The problem today is not the weapons. The problem today is not politics. Politics change. We had 8 years Republican president and terrorism increased. We had 8 years Democratic president, Islamic terrorism increased. So this idea, oh, let's go drink coffee, it's all go away, it's not going away. The solution is the human heart. The problem was my heart. So I went to my room, knelt by my bed, closed the door of my room, and this is what I prayed. I said, Lord Jesus, when you came to earth, you healed the sick and raised the dead. Forgive me that I hate people. Forgive me that I hate Jewish people. Forgive me that I hate Palestinians, and I hate Shiites, and I hate Iranians. Forgive me for the spirit of hate. The more there's war in Lebanon, I want to be a soldier of peace. The more there's hate in this country, I want to be a soldier of love. And God changed my heart. I started praying for the Jewish people. I started praying for Arafat. The church I grew up in was 5 blocks from the seashore. We had a regular prayer meeting that prayed for the leaders of the Middle East, because when you follow Jesus, you don't see people by race. You don't see people by education. You don't see people how much money they have. You don't see people, well, how did they vote? You see them as God creation, and they need to know, all of them, they need to know that Christ has come to give them life, life abundant. Now, I have a few minutes. I want to share with you a couple of things. When you look in the Muslim world, this is what we call the 1040 window. If you are born in any of these countries, the chances of you seeing a page of the Bible is zero. Right now, this church offered everybody a Bible. Beautiful. Welcome to America. Yet today, the 21st century, the Bible is banned. It's illegal. It's illegal to own a Bible in Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Yemen, Oman. Kids grow up, get married, have children, and die, and never hear that Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Every summer we do mission trips. So one summer I was leading a mission trip to Spain. You know, Spain and Morocco are close. So a lot of Moroccans cross over to go to Europe to work. So we put a book table, and on the table put Arabic Bibles. And as people come, say, Salaamu Alaikum, would you like a copy of the Injil? In Arabic, Injil means New Testament. So one day the table was next to the curb, and this car slows down. The guy rolls the window, who's driving, and his beard was bushy beard, down to his second button. This means he's devout. So I said to him, Assalamu alaikum, brother. He said, Wa alaikum salam. I said, we're giving the book of Jesus. He looks at me, he goes, I am the Imam of Amsterdam. I don't know if that's true. It might be Moroccan went to Amsterdam. He goes, I am the Imam of Amsterdam. Have you read the Quran? I said, yeah, 16 times. He goes, in Arabic? I said, yeah, in Arabic. Why? Do I look French to you? I'm an Arab. So he laughed. He said, I only read the Quran 4 times. But I've never read the book of Jesus. I said, sir, can I give you the book of Jesus? So when people in the mosque ask you about Jesus, you can tell them. He said, sure, since you read the Quran, give me the Injil. I want to take the Injil. He took the Bible and drove off. I'm thinking to myself, he's the imam. He's never read the book. I am an evangelical minister. I read it now 20 times. I just finished the Quran 20 times. When Muslims ask this imam about Jesus, what does he tell them? Nothing. He's never read the book. Most Muslims today are told that Jesus was born of a virgin. That's true. But they tell them he was born under a palm tree. No. Where was Jesus born? Oh, you remember? It was a manger, yeah. The shepherds, the sheep, the angels, and then the magi, the kings. What did they bring? Come on, gold, not silver, gold, frankincense and myrrh. People don't even know the simple story. A friend of mine in Indiana is a mission pastor. He took the training, and then he called me. He goes, Fahad, our neighbor is a Turkish businessman, and we invited him over with his wife for dinner. And while we're eating dinner, he said to me, why do you Christians eat bread and fish every Sunday? And the pastor said, no, it's a bread and the wine. He goes, no, you Christians eat bread and fish. So the Christian said to the Turkish man, where do you get that information? He goes, well, when I was 12 years old, we went to the city of Istanbul and went into a Catholic church, and there was a painting of Jesus holding a basket of fish and a basket of bread. So I thought, that's what you guys do every Sunday. This man is in his 40s. He thinks it's a fish fry every Sunday. He's never heard the basics of the faith. An American lady invites 2 Afghan refugees. By the way, you live in Fremont, which is called Little Kabul. Remember why? Because most Afghans moved here, running away from the mess. So these 2 Afghan ladies were invited by an American lady, and she put a DVD called Jesus in Dari. Dari is the language of the Afghans. They're watching the movie. The movie ends with the resurrection of Jesus. And with their scars, with their hijab, these 2 ladies start crying. The American lady says to them, are you crying because Jesus hung on the cross? They said, no, we're crying because he rose from the dead and no one told us. Islam never tells them what did Jesus teach, nor what the miracles. It says he did miracles, but doesn't say what. They say he raised the dead, but they don't even know what stories about the resurrection. And then the funny part is they say, oh, he was taken up to heaven. So many Muslims don't know what happens. Although, by the way, the Quran mentions twice the resurrection of Jesus, but that's another cup of tea. But this is the mess we're in. Today, millions have never seen a page of the Bible. Now, this is another map. Each red dot represents a mosque. Oh, look where they're going. Figure out the Electoral College. You'll know where they're going. So we look at this and we panic. Why are we panicking? Right now there are 7 million Muslims in America. Do you think we can find 7 million Christians to go tell them about Jesus? Each one, reach one. If we can get 7 million Christians, I think we can. would just show them love. And if 1%, if one out of every 100 Muslims in this country feel the love of Jesus and decide to follow Christ, that's 70,000. 70,000 believers. They're coming right here. And guess what? They want to learn English. A lady at church, I was speaking in Indiana. This sweet lady comes up. She goes, Father, I don't want to go on any mission trips. I don't want to use my passport. I said, it's okay. Come down to Orlando. 100,000 Muslims in Orlando. 25,000 of them from one country, Morocco. You don't need a passport. Come down, Disney World. 230,000 in the city of Dallas. 1 million Muslims live now in the state of California. Why are they coming? A guy said to me, Fuad, is the environment in the Muslim world conducive for evangelism? What? English is my second language. What? Is the environment conducive? When we spoke on the civil rights, was the environment conducive? When we spoke against the slave trades, and every American needs to read about the life of the abolitionists who married their black slave to set them free. Read the life of John Woolman, a Christian who went from Quaker community to the other, freeing the slaves. Was the environment conducive? When Jesus, the Messiah, stood in front of the Jewish leader and said, today the Isaiah prophecy has been fulfilled. Was the environment conducive? My brothers and sisters, we go because Jesus told us to go. Because we found the cure. We found the cure for sin, and His name is Jesus. What Christ is telling us today is there is a problem within Islam. This, I said this in 2001, I'll say it again. In the next 10 years, there will be a rise of militancy. Those who want to take over to make sure that people live according to the days of Muhammad. We call those Salafis or Usuliyin. Then you have the other side, those who want to modernize Islam. And God is saving from both of them. Now when we see this darkness, Jesus saying to us in Matthew 5, verse 14, if you have your Bible, would love for you to share with you what Jesus is doing. And I hope by the end of this service you'll see what God is doing, not what the devil is doing. CNN and Fox News will cover what the devil is doing. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Jesus ends this parable by saying, in the same way. This is a comparison, not a contrast. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God is saying to us, as you look at the darkness, as you see ISIS, as you see wars, as you see nuclear weapons tested, as you see big bombs falling, this darkness we are in, Jesus is saying, you are the light. And when I read this verse first time, I was like, seriously, Lord? I am the light. I'm from Lebanon. I got issues. I got problems. You know my weaknesses. Jesus says, you are the light. What Jesus is saying, it's our relationship to Him like the moon to the sun. The moon does not have a light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. What Jesus is saying, He is the light, but you are the light because we are reflecting His light. People are going to see you and they're going to say, oh, he calls himself a Christian. She calls herself a Christian. Oh, these are the followers of Jesus. But when we reflect His light, He gets the glory. So Jesus saying, when you see the darkness, you are the light. Now you don't shine the light in the light. You shine the light in darkness. Everyone like, yeah, I want to shine the light in the light. Well, I'm sorry, brother. You know, a flashlight here doesn't work. You shine the light in darkness. What Jesus saying, when there's a mess, when you see the darkness around you, and let's not only discuss on Islamic issues, but let's talk about maybe someone is in darkness in your family or in your neighborhood, or maybe you have extended family. Maybe God wants you to be the light to them. Maybe after church you want to pick up the phone and say, hey brother, hey sister, that relationship, not good for you. That decision you just made is not biblical. Jesus saying, when you see the darkness, you run. Now the beautiful thing, when you compare light to darkness, if this room was dark, How much light do I need? Just a little light is enough. This little light of mine, I will let it shine. Doesn't matter. Light also helps me find a way out. And when you compare light to darkness, the beautiful thing is, light always, always defeats darkness. So my brother and sister, church is not here. This is where we get fed. This is where we get empowered. Church is out there. Where Jesus is saying, when you go out there to the darkness, you are the light. You are at the light. And what happens when you shine the light, things happen. Things happen. You don't need a PhD in theology to share the gospel. Jamila is Shia, born and raised in Michigan. She was flipping hamburgers at a store, at a restaurant, working, and the guys working with her, and the girls working with her, they were talking about at a Bible study on Friday night. So she said, "Oh, you Christians study the Bible? I didn't know that. Can I join you guys?" They would drive 20 minutes. She didn't have a car. They would drive 20 minutes to pick her up. Just use their car. 2 years later, she got baptized. I said to her, "Why did you become a believer?" She said, "I loved how these Christians prayed. I loved how these Christians talked to God or the Father." In Boston, an MIT student, Muslim Sunni from India, hears that there's a Bible study in the hall he's in. He decides to join the Bible study to convert the Christians to Islam. Guess what happened? He gets saved. I asked him why. He said to me, "I'm reading the Bible. It was so beautiful." An imam visiting a friend in Nebraska. He's at a Starbucks coffee in Nebraska. They have Starbucks up there. An American guy says, "Hey, how are you? Where are you from?" He goes, "I'm from such and such country." They start talking and they give him an Arabic Bible. He's reading the Arabic Bible. Jesus says, "Min athmarihim ta'rifunahum." From their fruit you shall know them. He gets baptized. Shine your light. Shine your light. My brother and my sister, do not think that we are building the kingdom of Jesus. We are not. If we are the one building it, hey, it's a mess. Jesus is building. Many times I'll be talking to a Muslim man or somebody who got saved, and I find out, oh, Jesus beat me there. I thought I was the first guy. A young Muslim man was reading the Bible, called me. I never met him. Answered some questions. Then I get a call in my office. He says, "Father, would you pray for me today?" I said, "Why?" He goes, "I'm resigning from being the president of the Muslim Student Association on my campus." I didn't know he was the president. I said to him, "Why are you resigning from being the president of the Muslim Student Association?" He goes, "Well, I got baptized 2 weeks ago. I can't be the president of the Muslim Student Association." You know how it started? His classmates started talking to him. Answered questions for him. A Shia Muslim gets saved, a lawyer basically. He asks himself a question: why am I a Muslim? Let me prove that Islam is better than any other religion. So he starts doing his homework. He decides to become a believer. He gets baptized 12 years ago. He's speaking on a campus, and this Sunni Muslim calls him on the phone. March 1st, while they're talking on the phone, the Sunni Muslim says, "I want to take Jesus as my Savior." So they pray together. Isn't it great? A Shia leads a Sunni to Christ. How can this happen without Jesus being a part of it? Nothing says they should be talking to each other. But God is moving. Today, when you look at the Muslim world, when you look at the mess here in America, I mean, I love America, don't get me wrong, but you know, democracy is not working, right? Democracy can be abused, right? The problem is not the Constitution. The problem is not the law. You can give me the Ten Commandments, and I will still break the Ten Commandments. The problem is the heart. My brother, my sister, let your light shine. Our training bridges is now in multiple countries. The beautiful thing is when you go on a mission trip, there's our team witnessing with Kuwaitis in Beirut. But I wanted to share with you this story. This is our team in London, England. There are a lot of Saudis because it gets 110 degrees in the shade in Saudi Arabia in the summer. I said that at a training in Phoenix, Arizona. And the gentleman in the front was a retired Marine. He rose his hand. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I served in Gulf War I. I said, "Thank you." He goes, "There was no shade." So basically, it's a very hot place. So in the summer, a lot of Saudis go to London. So they go to London, and what we do is we have these corners. We give out Bibles. This is how he's taking her first. Arabic Bible. We distributed 897 Bibles in 4 days. You think Muslims are interested? I was in Michigan speaking and talking to 5 students, high school students. I said, do you have Muslims in your class? They said, oh yeah. I said, did you share with them the gospel? They said, no. I said, why? They said, well, if we share the gospel with them, they will get upset. I said, did you share the gospel with them? He said, no. So how do you know they get upset? How do you know they get upset? An elder in a church in Ohio said to me, I don't want to share the gospel with Muslims because they might blow up. No, they're not going to blow up. Not every person you meet has this, you know, strapped, you know. Most Muslims today are nominal Muslims. Most Muslims come like us. They want to find a job, have a life. They love America because it gives them a lot of opportunities. So we already judged them before. While we're talking there, we were finished on the 4th day. We're finished. I'm talking to some of the team. And this lady, this tall. You know, Arabs are not tall people. You know that. So she comes up, says, Salaam alaikum. Say, wa alaikum salam. She goes, last summer I was here. I took 4 Bibles, but I gave them to my friends. Can I get one for me? Should we give her one? She asked my sister. We opened John 15 in Arabic. We started talking where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. My brother, my sister, Jesus is asking to be the light in darkness. In these last days, when you look at the Muslim world, we are seeing a huge change. In the last 20 years, more Muslims have become believers in Jesus than previous 1400 years. Number one reason, they met a practicing Christians. Number two, they read the Bible in their language. Number three, they had a vision or a dream of Jesus. In October, I was preaching in a church in New Jersey. After I was done, this couple comes up. Salaam alaikum. Salaam alaikum salam. The man starts speaking and she goes, because Mr. Masri, 3 years ago, I became a believer in New York City. Hallelujah. God works in New York City. And he said, this is my fiance, but she has a question for you. I said to her, well, how can I help you? She said, in the last 4 weeks, I've seen Jesus twice as a vision. I said, how do you know it's Jesus? You're a Muslim. It's like, how do you know it's Jesus? You were not raised in the church. She goes, oh no, he is Jesus, the son of the Virgin Mary. I said to her, what's your question? She said to me, why is Jesus appearing to me? So we turn to Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. She prayed and received Jesus. You know, sadly today, maybe there are people who are not Muslim in your life, but you need to share with them the gospel. On a flight from Indianapolis to Dallas, I got the aisle seat, and this guy sat on the window seat, big guy. He said to me, what do you do, sir? I said, I'm an evangelical minister. He said to me, oh, I love baby Jesus. I said, sir, Jesus grew up and had more to say. You know those people, right? They're still stuck with baby Jesus. There's still people panicking. Now, what's going to happen next? Why? You are the light in darkness. I want to end with this verse. Jesus says, no one puts his hand to the plow and look back. Is fit for service in the kingdom of God. What happens to us in plowing in the old days, you had to push the plow and look back. You look forward. Because if you look back, it's going to go zigzag, right? And you're going to mess up somebody else's work. And Jesus is saying, you are the light. When you want to follow me, you put your hand to the plow and you look forward. Everyone looks back. Oh, you remember the Boston bombing? Yeah, I remember. You remember the attack and said, I remember. But Jesus is saying, look forward. Intentional focus. I learned this lesson when my son was playing Little League. You know, I came from Lebanon. We play soccer. We don't play baseball. So I only learned when I came to America, it was 3 strikes and you're out. And then my son joined Little League. He was 8 years old. Don't you love Little League in America? Man, Americans go all out. Hats, shirts, all these kids running around. And my father-in-law coached baseball. So my father-in-law decides to teach this Arab guy baseball. So we sit on the bleachers. He's behind me explaining what's happening. So I learned there's something called double play. That's a nice one. Grand slam. Oh, that's a nice one too, right? He said, you can steal second. You can steal third. I said, that's great. Can I steal first? He goes, no, you can't. I'm like, why can't I steal first? No, you can't. I'm from Lebanon. No, you can't steal first. So I'm sitting there. My son comes up to bat. And the bases were loaded. Last game in the season. They're neck and neck with the other team. And you know how Americans say, hey, bada, bada, bada. You know, they tease them. You're going to miss it. Where's my son looking? Where's my son looking? He's watching that baseball. There's some guys on the side saying, you can do it, little buddy. You can do it. Is he looking at them? He's watching the baseball. There's some cute girls texting. And is he looking at the girls? Watching the baseball. The pitcher threw the ball. My son swung. It was a home run. They won on one run. He made his dad proud. We're going to go to prayer right now. I'm going to ask you this. One thing. Say, Lord Jesus, you are my coach. What is the one thing you want me to do when I leave this place? One thing. Maybe while we're praying, he puts in the name of a person. Or maybe God wants you to go to the Philippines. Or guess what? Maybe God wants you to join Crescent Project. Kristen did. Maybe God wants you to say, I want to dedicate my life to shine the light in darkness. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you that we can call you Abba because of Jesus. Millions of people don't even know that they can call you Abba. Lord, today we ask you that you fill us with your Holy Spirit. If anyone here have not received Jesus, Father, I pray that he will make this decision, that you will make the decision right now. And those who receive Jesus, Father, I pray that you fill us with your Spirit, that we leave this place shining with your light so that people know that we belong to you. Lord, we pray this morning that you will crush militant Islam, that you fumble their plans, that they will know that you are against killing and murder, and that many of them will turn their life around and become followers of Jesus. Lord, this morning you asked us to bless and not to curse. So Lord, we pray that you bless Muslims everywhere. Bless the fathers and the mothers. Bless Muslims with the true blessing of knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
Jesus said, I came that they might have life and they might